Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Not only the 9/11 anniversary, which, you know, obviously tomorrow will be 24 years. We mentioned that, but special that he's going to have coming out, I'm sure will shed a different light and perspective of those days between the actual attacks and the baseball game that was played on September 21st. But you heard Todd talk about the current Mets and talk about tonight, you know, a big game. And this is what we live for as sports fans. These big games. I know that it feels like, oh, God. Like, there's a part of me, just from a fan perspective for a second, that is like, uh-oh. It is a big game. Like, you can't lose to the Phillies again. Mm-hmm. But there's also the part of me that's like, I'm excited to see what they can do here tonight. This is what it's about. 17 games to go. You have a playoff spot. Like, think about from a Mets perspective how infrequent this opportunity, this spot is. That's why I can't understand the pending doom feel. Yes, there are reasons to be concerned. Of course, it's been a down regular season. However, this is what it's all about. Up in the playoffs, two game lead with 70 to go.
Yeah, and you know, listen, you have these feelings and these thoughts, and certainly for us as a living opinions, clearly that we, you know, espouse every day here. And sometimes they change day to day. I could just tell you like what I'm thinking with both of these teams now. Obviously more focused on the Mets because it's more dire right now. So I don't do it every night, maybe once, maybe twice a week. I'll get a lawn chair, get a bag of seeds, spit some seeds because it's beautiful out. Watch my son's football practice, like the last hour, and then I'll pick him up, whatever. And the Mets starting earlier, the last couple of days against Philly, I had these expectations. And before I looked at my phone, and it was probably about 7:05 now, because I was in the middle of a conversation, my expectation last night was that the Mets would be down. I just felt that. And then I looked and it was 2-0. I'm like, then it was 4-0. I'm obviously recording the games and go back and catch up on everything. My expectation for the Yankees was fairly benign. I didn't really know what to expect. I saw Judge had the home run. They jump up early. I'm like, okay. And then the inning got away. Tonight, I don't really have a great feeling for the Yankees either. But I don't feel like the Mets are going to bounce back tonight.
Yeah, I can see feeling. They could be in the middle of a storm right now against Philadelphia in that ballpark. It could be. But one game, one inning, think about it. Two nights ago, they lost 1-0.
No.
And if not for a boneheaded decision by the manager and a bad base running play to combat things, they could have easily won. They hit second and third with one out.
Yeah, and the thing that's
down 1-0. Like, yeah, come on.
And the thing that's been lost from that night, which we didn't even really get into because we focused on Mauricio, the read, the base running, send them, don't send them. Obviously, pinch running for Pete, who's a good base runner, probably a bit slower than Mauricio, but a savvy runner. What got lost in translation, to be fair to the Mets, is that they were about 4 inches away from a double by McNeil off one of the best closers in baseball that was rifled down the right field line that hit the umpire.
Right.
You know, so
that changed. I know.
I mean, it's not a game. There's no like ninth place prize. Here's a consolation gift, but that was the reality. He had a really competitive at bat. Alvarez did not, yeah. But McNeil did. You get a little lucky. You get two runs. You might win the game 2-1.
Let's not make it like the Mets can't win a ball game here against a good team where literally they took 2 of 3 from Detroit, one of the best teams in the American League, last week. They did sweep these same Phillies. And even with last night felt like, okay, here we go. It's going the wrong way. Maybe last night was the aberration. See if they could go out there, get a solid start for the first 5 innings of the game and have their bats go to work. By the way, you can make an argument. Now, this is not excusing the Mets whatsoever. You can make an argument the Phillies are the best team in baseball. Their pitching is elite, even without Zach Wheeler.
Changes without Wheeler.
No, look at it, dude. Look at these guys throwing out there.
I know who their pitchers are. Best pitching staff in baseball.
No. They could be the best team in baseball.
Oh, best team. I'm sorry.
I said best team in baseball. Look at their pitching. Now, that doesn't mean that the Mets should be able to beat anybody on any given night. And they have done that with Philly. But when we talk about, well, who's better in the National League? Do you trust the Brewers wholeheartedly?
No.
Okay, I don't either. The Dodgers have 81 wins themselves. Like, they're in a fight for the division with the Padres, who are right there with the Mets. So, like, the Dodgers-Padres haven't been lights out. If we don't really trust the Brewers, that leaves one team. It's not the Cubs. That leaves one team. It's the Phillies. The American League has not been as good as the National League. So, really, the Phillies might, in fact, be the best team in all baseball.
Which I never really associated them with being this year, which maybe that's why I'm having a little reluctance doing it now. But also keep in mind, if you think that they are, and, you know, as we kind of flush through it, it's not the craziest thought. He might actually be onto something here. The entire left side of the infield's out, and Trey Turner's out into the playoffs there. What does that do night to night? Obviously changes their offense. Bohm is a little bit different. I'm not exactly sure how long he's going to be out, but without Trey Turner, an element of average speed, run production, I mean, plus speed, it's going to change how they look night to night, but they got a couple of starters who go out there, put up a lot of zeros, strike a lot of guys out, and give their big guys a chance to score some runs.
Here's the thing. The Phillies are definitively better than the Mets. By any measurement you want to throw out there, they're better than the Mets. They have a 9-game lead. They've been more consistent. They're going to easily win in the 90s, at least, for the, you know, with the Phillies, maybe the high 90s, whatever it is, 17 games ago, they already have 85 wins. Outside of the playoff win last year from the Mets, and outside of the recent sweep, which I was actually shocked that the Mets swept the Phillies at home, the Phillies have been the better team. So nobody's going to dispute that. Doesn't mean the Mets can accept getting swept. They can't. Like, and on any given day, you got to be able to go out there and compete with the best. That's how they're going to be judged. Their payroll's higher. They have the talent. Go compete at the very least on equal footing with the Phillies. They've done it for the most part head-to-head.
Yeah.
But overall, the Phillies have clearly been the better team.
You know what's interesting about the Mets and the Phillies? Like, their whole dynamic, their whole baseball rivalry relationship. I forget the exact stat, but I've seen it flashed a few times where the Mets and the Phillies are very rarely good together in the same season. What is it like? Only 5 times, if I had that right.
Right.
Somebody tweet
like
me this.
Where they finished 1-2.
Where they finished 1-2. I mean, now this goes back to when the Expos were in the division and very good. The Cubs were in the division, if you're old enough, and a couple of years they were good. I mean, things have obviously changed here. The Marlins have won a couple of the championships. Obviously, the Braves have been fantastic a lot of these years. But isn't that amazing for two teams that have been in the same division for so long? And they've had some good teams. Both, they're very rarely like this relevant at the same time. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
For the last 30 years, it's been primarily the Braves division, in part. Freddie is calling from Newton. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, Sal, BT, how you doing?
Good, how are you, Freddie?
Hey, Fred.
Okay, I'm a positive Mets fan. The Mets are going to make the playoffs. But the one thing bothered me the other day, Francisco Alvarez came to the plate with two out, and he struck out at 3 balls outside, at least 6-12 inches outside. Did you see that at bat?
Mm-hmm. We talked about it yesterday, Freddie. I mean, it was a horrible at bat. But what does that have to do? What does that have to do with the big picture? You're concerned about Alvarez in general?
Yeah, well, I think he's your best catcher. Torenzo, definitely better defensive catcher.
And Torenzo's hurt right now. Yeah, thank you for the call, Freddie. A lot of noise.
Sanger.
Yeah, I mean, it was an awful bat. We talked about it.
I think it was the worst at bat I've seen all season.
Yeah,
it was bad.
He clearly, my thought process was, okay, he blew away McNeil. Duran blew away McNeil. And my thought process, unfortunately, was similar to Alvarez in that, well, you're not going to get that fastball by him. But Alvarez can't have that mentality. You could be looking fast, but you can't be overmatched to that degree. And then after the first one, where it was clear Alvarez was just looking for a heater to turn around, then you've got to adjust, bro.
Yeah.
He just blew him away.
Hey, listen, I mean, he's throwing, what does he throw, 101, 102,
whatever,
and a wipeout, dude. I mean, his stuff is absolutely filthy here. But, yeah, if you're going to sell out expecting one pitch, the first pitch, that's one thing.
Right.
But you have to make an adjustment. And I know it's hard to read it out of his hand and pick up the seams and do it. But you can't have 3 consecutive swings where you miss the baseball by a foot and a half.
You've got to be smarter. Awful. If you're geared for the fastball and the first pitch you get beat on something other than that, you got to be thinking, okay, well, he knows that I could turn one around.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to give me one.
Yep.
And those pitches weren't even in the strike zone.
It was a fly. It was a mindset. Like, at that point,
exactly.
What you got to do is you just got to say, because he's gearing up to crank one. I get it. He wanted to be the hero.
Right.
Understood. Shorten up. This means, you know, you're going to let the curveball get you. Hit it to right field. Hit a double to right center.
That's exactly right. Steve is in Howard Beach. What's up, Steve?
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Guys, how are you? Okay, as far as the Jets season, I think it's going to be a tumultuous one, and here's why. Aaron Glenn is very short, and I don't mean in stature, in his responses to the media when asked questions And I think that's going to end up in this market blowing up in his face and causing a lot of turmoil internally when it blows up in the media. Because I think the Jets are going to get off to a very rough start here, and things are going to catch up to him very, very quickly.
Well,
what do you think about that?
I don't see that, Steve. Thanks for the call. And by the way, the literal definition of tumultuous is a state of great confusion. Does he ever seem confused? The man is in charge with everything. Disorder, excitement, or disturbance characterized by a mix of intense emotions and unpredictable events. Now, I don't feel that. That's not the word that I would use. I'm not saying to get a bag three wins by first week in October here, but number one, I think there's a built-in cushion. I think that Aaron Glenn's going to get a little bit more respect than others who start here because he played here, and I think that his honesty and his transparency is going to be appreciated. Now, that's got an expiration point, but no, tumultuous is not a word I would even remotely attach to year one of the Aaron Glenn regime. Not at all. The exact opposite. Man. Stability they've been craving, if anything.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Stephen Howard Beach loves Tulsa King. Anthony's calling from Harlem. What's up, Ant?
Hey, fellas. Good afternoon.
How are you?
Guys, so really quick, I just wanted to let you know, I've been calling you guys a while. I've been with the FDNY 24 years. This is my last 9/11. I'm retiring. And I want to tell you that throughout my career after 9/11, no organization, sports organization, has done more for first responder families, taking care of 9/11 cancer firefighters more than the New York Mets. They are an incredible, exemplary organization when it comes to that, with the friends that I've lost. And I will always root for the blue and orange, even if they get caught by the Giants, guys. I just wanted to let you listeners know that. Sal, you can let Todd know that when you see him in the studio. It means a lot to us.
We'll do.
That's awesome. And by the way, congrats on an awesome career. 24, 25 years, FDNY, it's a great job. It's still a great job. Good for you.
I just want to say really quick, just to transition, BT, I'm not going to get into why, but we got the right guy coaching the New York Jets. Aaron Glenn is awesome. And he's a Parcells disciple, and that was a Parcells move. And it's going to turn here, brother. One day soon, it's going to turn here. It's going to be wins.
So, and I got no doubt, man. I'm with you, buddy. I really am. Thanks for the call. We appreciate the sentiments. And again, happy retirement. If it seems like you're going to retire, and that's awesome. And the Mets do. Like almost all the teams here, if not all the teams, like our teams really get out in the community. I know the Mets do a lot. So props to them.
But the Good Mets job. Have done more. And I've always wondered this, too, because back then, like, obviously, the Mets got to the World Series in 2000, but the Yankees were the team. It's not to minimize what other teams have done, but it does feel like in that particular case, 9/11, the Mets have gone above and beyond, and I'm not sure why that's the case more so than others.
All right, well, I mean, I don't know the exact mileage, but, I mean, Shea's closer to the tower side, right, than going up to Yankee Stadium. So maybe it just started, that was the place, I don't want to say place of convenience, that minimizes
no,
the Mets
Todd
effort. I don't mean that.
Like it became a more.
No, I know. And Tiki's talked about this, too. Yeah. I mean, so that. I'm sure it's closer just in proximity. Not a ton, because Yankee Stadium's not far without traffic. I think that might be the start of it, but that doesn't mean that's the reason for the continuation. Now, I don't know what, and it doesn't even matter. If nobody's looking for a scoreboard, well, the Mets did this and the Yankees did this. The pettiness will not be tolerated when it comes to trying to determine who did more for 9/11. I think everybody did what they could. I'll just leave it at this. I feel like the Mets have always done a great job with stuff. Yeah. I really have. Like, they connect with the police, with the firemen, with the EMT, and so do the Yankees, there's no doubt. But specific to that call, Mets do a great job.
Yeah, and I do think maybe it stems back to because of the proximity and because they had Shea Stadium, and then the players were impacted personally to a degree where Todd said it himself 25 years later, 24 tomorrow, but doing the film on the 25th anniversary of 9/11 next year, like it impacts them more because they just happened to see it on hand, whatever it was at that time. Also, the first game back, 9/21, like the Mets played that game. Like, there is a connection that the Mets had that the other teams didn't necessarily have that was maybe a little more intimate at the time, which is made them continue to do it all these years later. Other teams, of course, were charitable.
Yeah,
nobody's
trying
to minimize it, but Anthony said it himself, like he's down there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so sad to think how fast time goes, but and Todd hinted at this, but think about the children of some of the fighters, the firefighters, and others, clearly, but just stay with the FDNY theme, who were 3, 4, 5 years old when Todd and right. Piazza and some other Mets, Franco, were down there, and now they're grown men, and they've right. got families, and that's, like, think about how fast that was.
Yeah,
scary. It's sad.
Hard to believe it's been 24 years. And it was our buddy Todd Zeal stopping in studio. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. He had a lot to say about the current Mets, his days with the Mets, and of course 9/11 coming up tomorrow, the 24th anniversary. Ralph is in Manhattan. What's up, Ralph?
The Mets have gone beyond the pale. They've done a wonderful job when it comes to 9/11. You know, the proximity is a factor, guys. You know, the stadium was right there overlooking the tragedy and everything else. And you know, and the game being on the 21st, that 21st of September meant a great deal to New York in the whole. You know, it was a fantastic time, you know, that they did. They really rectified the situation as best they could. But I'll tell you about the Mets. The Phillies are so much better than this team. It's really a joke. If you look up and down, you wonder how the Mets are going to compete against this team. But clearly, each and every year, the best teams don't win. The playoff picture, the structure is so strangely constructed that they don't really get the best teams all the time. So you have to play. It's funny, you play 162 games, guys, and the playoff structure is such that it's a crapshoot, and 162 games don't even mean anything because you can get knocked out right away and your whole season is gone.
Well, but Ralph, hold on, Ralph. You can't say it doesn't mean anything. If you don't win enough games, you don't get to play in the postseason.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe I put it wrongly, it shouldn't be 162 games to pan out to something as much as a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. Maybe you chop it down to maybe 140 games, something reasonable. The fact that these guys play 162, guys, is really, they say it's a marathon, the game, you know, that's not true.
Everything else changed, Ralph. And sorry, we got to cut you short there because we got a minute left in the show. Everything else changed with the sport, except the fact that the regular season is still 162 games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a purist at heart. It's got to change because, of course, the regular season means something only in just getting in.
Yep.
Once the playoffs start, it really doesn't mean anything. We've seen it different ways. Teams that win 80 games as the last wild card, teams that win the division and have the best record in the sport go out in the first round. The wild card teams go to the World Series. Like, it is a crapshoot.
I'm okay if you slog 20 games off the schedule, but to do it for playoff purposes, I could get down with that. But also, and I've said this before, like, we've become so used to baseball always being there. I think there's something to be said, like, you know, the absence a little fonder in the heart. If it's not on every single night,
miss
I think we might
bit.
Appreciate it. Even though we appreciate
it.
I think others and some others might appreciate it more. But listen, they're not slicing games because that's money and they're all greedy entities and that's not going to change.
Yeah, I mean, now the problem is if they shaved off 20 games, let's say, they're going to want to add those in playoff games, which would make the playoffs an even bigger crapshoot than it already is.
You feeling good tonight?
I'm feeling good about them getting in. There's 17 games to go. If they win the majority of those games, 9-8, they're getting in the playoffs.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.